You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
You may not know what the will of God is for you tomorrow, but you can know that He's with you and He has a will for you.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, help us to understand your will for the world and for each of us, to believe in you and in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Give us the confidence of faith to live with courage, seeking to know your will for each of us and following your leading. Warm us all with the willingness of love like yours, that your will may become known to all nations. In the name of your great Son and our Savior, even Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, exclaimed St. Paul. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. On the basis of that mystery, St. Paul urged people to come to know God in the way in which he can be known. The same way in which St. Paul came to know him, in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Son of the living God. Don't be conformed to this age, said Paul, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order that you yourselves might put to the test, what is the will of God? What do you do in a tight situation when you don't know exactly what the will of God is? How do you understand what's going on right now in your own life? How come things happen the way they do? What is God's will in all these things? A lot of people look for God to appear on the scene as that duck did on the Groucho Marx show, You Bet Your Life. Those who saw that program will remember that a duck would drop down from above with the mention of a secret magic word. Some people would like God to drop down like that, out of the sky, with pat answers, so you can quickly see what his good and gracious will is. It doesn't work that way. It did not work that way for St. Paul, even though Jesus Christ himself appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road and knocked him down right there in the middle of the road, underneath the bright light, with a startling announcement, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Paul had to learn to look for the will of God in his own life, just as the rest of us do, mostly in ordinary ways where you do not see his presence, but you know that he is there. How do you know he is there? People want a logical answer to that question. The answer goes beyond logic. It's not illogical, but it certainly demands a confidence in God that is more than logical. If you are offended by that, so be it. The only way to know God is by faith in him. How can you have faith in God when you can't see him and when you don't know whether he is listening to you? How do you know that God is talking to you personally, at a moment when you need to know what he has to say? I know how he talks to me. He has a word for the world. That word is in his Son, Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord, from Genesis to Revelation, homes in on Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It's all about God. If you want to know who God is and what he is like, look at Jesus Christ. There you have the whole story. The prophets were always talking about the will of God which would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. As Isaiah said, he was treated harshly but endured it humbly. He never said a word. Like a lamb about to be slaughtered, like a sheep about to be sheared, he never said a word. He was arrested and sentenced and led off to die, and no one cared about his fate. He was put to death for the sins of his people. He was placed in a grave with evil men. He was buried with the rich, even though he had never committed a crime or ever told a lie. The prophet concluded, "The Lord says, it was my will that he should suffer." His death was a sacrifice to bring forgiveness. And so I will give him a place of honor, a place among great and powerful men. He willingly gave his life and shared the fate of evil men. He took the place of many sinners and prayed that they might be forgiven. Christ's men told the same story after all these events had taken place. They reported to us that he said, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's what Jesus Christ did, laid down his life for his friends. They reported that he said, "No one who comes to me will ever be left out or disappointed." That's God talking, because it is Jesus Christ talking. You can depend upon it that what he says is true. God's will had its way in Jesus Christ. And God's will has its way in Jesus Christ today. It isn't all glory, but it certainly is good. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ and goes his way will find out that the will of God is expressed in his word. "I will never, ever leave you or forsake you." I may not know what the will of God is for me tomorrow, but I know he's with me today and he has a will for me. He has a will for you as you put your trust in Jesus Christ. You can depend upon the word of God just as you depend upon Jesus Christ. Everything he says, everything he does, everything he is. The Lord Christ died for you. He lives for you. He prays to God for you that you might be forgiven. You may ask, "What is the will of God for me?" But don't ask it in unbelief. That road leads to despair. His road leads to the grace and glory of God, which you take into your own heart by faith as you see and know and trust in Jesus Christ. All right, then. God has a will for me. How do I know what his will is for me? In this decision I have to make, how do I know what he wants me to do? The answer to that is, sometimes I know and sometimes I wonder. There are clear-cut decisions which can be made without hesitation because the Word of God tells me exactly what to do. What it tells me to do may not be easy, but I know exactly what I have to do. Then there are others where you wonder. Things are not all that clear-cut. The situation isn't all good and it isn't all bad. It's life, as most of us meet it all the time, with gray areas where you have to make up your mind about what you're going to do. Shall I take the new job and move to a different city or not? It's not an unimportant decision. It may affect you for the rest of your life. How do I know what the will of God is for me, anyhow? Faced with one of those, I put my trust in God as I've come to know him in his Son, Jesus Christ. I know he has a will for me because he's the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He said, "Let there be life," and there was life. There is life, and the will of God makes it real life. He's given me intelligence and freedom to make decisions on my own. I do not regard it as an indignity that I have to take him into account when I make those decisions. His will dignifies life, and I would like to know what his will is. If I forget about God and just make my decision without any regard for God at all, he'll let me do that. He'll give me that freedom. He's given you that freedom, too. You can go out and go your way, maybe bringing God in when you run into all kinds of trouble just because you forgot him along the way. He'll let you do that. But he's not responsible for the evil you brought on yourself. It's important to know that when you try to decipher what God's will is for you. His will is that your life should be a thing of transformation rather than conformation. Don't be conformed to everything that's going on around you. It's not dignified, and it doesn't make much sense either. God gave you intelligence and freedom to make a decision on your own. Take into account what his will may be for you. How do you discern the will of God? You do it with a new kind of mind that sees God in everything you do and everything that happens to you. I don't always see those things just at the moment, but when I look back, I can see them very clearly. It was the will of God that I should direct choirs and coach basketball, even though I was trained for something else. I learned from an older friend who had to learn for himself, probably the hard way, that you just trust in God, go ahead and do your duty, and he will show you what his will is for you. He opens doors all the time because he has a will for you. He just asks you to trust in him, to have confidence in his mercy, and to go with him in the same good will that he shows toward you. It's not the way of the world, I know, but it is the will of God. Some people are always waiting for a great big sign from God about what they should do. Sometimes he does that. He did it for Paul one day on the Damascus Road. It took a lot to crack that hard nut. And from there on, Paul had to live by faith just as everybody else does. In fact, he became the apostle of faith. Through faith in Jesus Christ, he kept saying, we are put right with God. Faith really works. It works because it is faith in God who has a will for you. Very often he'll let you struggle through your own decision-making. After you make a decision, it may not be crystal clear to you that God was involved in the process. If you are a youngster, go to a ball game, and are hit on the head with a foul ball, that does not mean that you are cut out to be a professional baseball player, even though Babe Herman of the old Brooklyn Dodgers was hit on the head by a fly ball in right field. In the ordinary world, with ordinary decisions to make, you will find that with trust in God, as you've come to know him, forgiving you and sustaining you in Jesus Christ, you will come out all right because God has a will for you. With that new mind in Jesus Christ, you will see God at work in the world with a great purpose of saving people in this wicked and aimless world and helping you to make good judgments in your own life. Try it out. Test what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and complete. You will find out with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. It works. It's very practical. What about all the trouble in the world, all the sickness, all the stupidity that causes such great problems in the world? Is that the will of God? No, it is not. It's not his will that any should suffer or perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of salvation through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. But God uses the troubles of the world to bring people around. He wakes us up and brings us alive by the power of his Holy Spirit. Many people on a sick bed begin to realize that they are not able to do it on their own. For once, they're willing to pray. It is often a turning point to find out what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and complete in this life of ours. As Joseph said to his brothers when they finally found out who he was, it was not you who sent me here, but God. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. The jealousy, hatred, greed, and deception of Joseph's brothers could not stand in the way of the will of God. The crucifixion of his Son Jesus Christ did not stand in the way of the will of God. Indeed, he took that injustice, the world's worst, and turned it into the world's best. Payment for a world's sin, so that people who trust in Jesus Christ might have eternal life. and with new understanding be sure that the will of God is good and gracious, as it certainly is. I think of a young man, terminally ill, who asks, "Why? How can this be God's will, that I leave my wife and children? I'm young and have so much to live for, especially my family. They need me. Is it God's will that I die?" At a time like that, I wish I were a counselor at the elbow of God, if not to tell him what to do, at least to find out what he has in mind. Oh, the depths, both of the riches and the wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. When I'm with a young man like that, I remember Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He asked the same question. He cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It is the mystery of his cross, and it is the mystery of the will of God. It is also the scene of the grace and the glory of God, where his Son cried out only moments later in victory, "It is finished. It is forgiveness and life for all who trust in that great Son of God." It is Good Friday, and it is Easter, for which we are headed at this time of the year. It is life and salvation, both of which are in the will of God for you. Now, my friends, don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed with the renewing of your mind through faith in Jesus Christ, in the love of God. Find it out for yourself. Test it to see that it is true and sure, everything good and acceptable and complete, as you live with the sure knowledge that God has his will for you, and that he is kind and cares for you, that he watches and looks out for you, that his good and gracious will is life and salvation for you. The final answer to your question, "What is the will of God for me?" is Jesus Christ himself, the living embodiment of the will of God. Looking for answers, you will find that you have the final and complete answer in him who died for you and rose again to be your Lord. Finally, this is the will of God for you, that you believe in him and in Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Believe in Jesus Christ and in the Father who has sent him, and you will find out for yourself how good and acceptable and complete is the will of God for you. Amen.